I didn't tell you last week that the first two of these that I've done on hymns, I had done over in Eden for a Sunday school class. And now the rest of these are some that I hadn't prepared before. But I was out walking one day and I just thought, you know, it would be nice to have some messages on hymns. And so that was how this came about. But two books that have really helped me, and you might want to get these. You can even find these, I think, at Walmart. But they give stories about these different hymns. And it's Then Sings My Soul and Book 1 and Book 2. The song we're going to do tonight is Blessed Assurance. And when we finish, I wonder if we could just maybe sing this a cappella when I finish looking at this, and just to implant the words in our minds as we think of. If you look at the top of your page of the song, do we have any more? Okay, anybody need one? Raise your hand. Have we got any more copies? There's one or two here. If you'll notice at the top of the page, though, the names of the one who composed the words and the names of the one who composed the music. Fanny Crosby, the blind songwriter, wrote the words. The words did not come first. The music came first. And what happened? Just to give you a little background about these two women, their lives were as different as night and day. Phoebe Knapp was the wife of the founder of the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. She lived in a palatial mansion in Brooklyn. Fanny Crosby was married to Alexander Van Alstyne. They both taught at the State School for the Blind in New York. They lived in the slums of Manhattan, so she could be close to the rescue missions where she liked to work. But they were good friends, and Fanny Crosby visited in the Knapp home many times. And I mean, Mrs. Knapp had entertained people, and she had a wardrobe, a lavish wardrobe, and just anything that she wanted was available to her. Fanny Crosby got very little, if anything, for the songs that she wrote and did not like to have any recognition from anybody. Once she was in D.L. Moody was speaking in a church there in New York, and she went in, and the place was packed. And so D.L. Moody's son, Will, saw that she needed a seat, and he said, "I'll find you a seat." And he took her and set her up on the platform. Well, the song they were singing when she came in was Blessed Assurance. And D.L. Moody raised his hand and stopped the singing and said, "I want you to know that the lady that wrote this song is sitting right here." And so she got the recognition whether she liked it or not. But one time she was visiting in, Fanny Crosby was visiting in the Knapp home, and Mrs. Knapp took her into her music room. Now, her music room, she had just about every instrument that was available, she had it in this music room. But she told Fanny that she had written, she had composed some music, and she wanted her to hear the tune. And when she played this song through, Fanny Crosby started clapping her hands. Says, "I hear it saying, 'Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.'" And just within a few minutes, these words were written down. And that's how she composed many of her songs. I mean, there were times somebody would come with music, and one situation, the man had 30 minutes to catch a train. And he played the song to her, and her favorite song, the song that she liked of all the 8,000 songs that she wrote it in 30 minutes, "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." And he took this to a Sunday school convention in Cincinnati. That's what he was going on the train for and sang it at that Sunday school convention and just had been composed. The song Blessed Assurance that she wrote in that short time, if you look at the first verse, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. I put my watch out here, and you all know that it doesn't mean anything, but I still do it. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Just that first phrase, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Now, I don't want to be offensive to anybody, but Fanny Crosby was raised up Methodist. She had much Methodist influence. And when I see this song, Blessed Assurance, I don't think of Methodist, you know? Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. You know, I don't think of somebody that believes that they can lose their salvation when they're saying Blessed Assurance. If it's blessed, if it's a blessed assurance, I think of that as a perfect assurance. There's no way that you can lose it if you have that assurance of your salvation. 1 John 5:11-13. 1 John 5:11-13. One way to someone who has doubts about their salvation, maybe they've made a profession and they've just, Satan has brought doubts in. One way for to show them that you can know. And I worked with a fellow who had been brought up in a primitive Baptist home. He didn't go to church, but he believed like they did. And he thought you couldn't know that you were saved until you died. You hoped you were, but you couldn't really know it. 1 John 5:11-13. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, and that ye may know. And I would tell this guy, that says no, that you can know it without any shadow of a doubt right now. It's not something that's in the future. It's something that you can know right now that you have eternal life. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We can know without any shadow of a doubt. 1 John 5:20. In this verse it says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And we know that the Son of God is come. So that's the first step. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that Jesus Christ laid down His life for your sins, to have that blessed assurance. Then over in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, verse 11 says, He came into His own. Speaking of Jesus Christ, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But as many as received Him. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. And if you receive the gift, you have blessed assurance that you are going to live for eternity in heaven with the Lord. In John 6:37, Jesus was speaking, and He said, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now that was John 6:37. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That tells me that it's impossible for a person to lose their salvation. we can have the blessed assurance that Jesus is ours if we have received Jesus Christ into our life, if we have invited Him in, if we have received His free gift of eternal life through His death, taking the penalty, taking the death sentence that was on every one of us when we were born into this world, taking that death sentence in our place as our substitute. And then she says in the song, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Now, Fanny Crosby was not born blind, but she lived her, I think, 94 years is how old she was, but she lived those 90-some years in darkness. She never saw the light of day. When she was 6 weeks old, her eyes became inflamed. And her parents called for a doctor to come, and their regular doctor was not available, and another doctor came in and he put hot poultices on her eyes. And that was what caused her blindness. And she said, "If I could meet that doctor, I would thank him." Because she said, "Had I been hindered with the ability to see, I could have never written all those songs that I wrote." When she was 8 years old, now this was a child who had really at that point had not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. But when she was 8 years old, she wrote these words, "Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this life, contented I will be. So many things that I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't." 8 years old, she composed those words. Her favorite verse was Romans 8:28. "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." It says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. It talks about us being risen with Christ. And if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have risen with Christ. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You see, every one of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior should start each day with that foretaste of glory divine. And Paul said it there in Colossians 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That word seek means worship. Worship those things which are above, not things on the earth. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your gaze on heaven. Don't worry about being so earthly, heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Don't worry about that. I've heard of people that, you know, if a person thinks they are, you can be assured they're not, you know? Because one thing's been missing, humility in their life. Seek, set. Dead, we're dead with Him. And we have arisen with Him. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. You are an heir of salvation. You are an heir to heaven because your Father is there waiting for you. And our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, is there preparing a place for us. There was a boy that in a communist country that was going to a secret meeting, and his dad told him, says, "Now you know, if you get caught, you're going to expose these other Christians that are meeting. So be careful." He got stopped. And the police said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to meet with my brothers and sisters, and we're going to open the testament of my older brother." He said, "Okay, go ahead." He thought they were going to read a will. And this is what Brother Andrew said: "A Russian Christian will not tell a lie. They're going to tell the truth, no matter what it cost." And he told the truth. I'm going to meet with my brothers and sisters, and we're going to open the testament of my older brother. We're heirs of salvation. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17. Romans 8, 14 through 17. I know I tend to brush through things and not giving you time, so I'm giving you a little bit of time to find the verses before I read them. Romans 8, 14 through 17 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We're heirs of salvation. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus, our older brother. You see? It says, "Heirs of salvation, purchase of God." You have been purchased. God has paid the greatest price that has ever been paid for anything for you. All the wealth in this world cannot buy what God bought for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It's a familiar two verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6:19. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You're bought with a price. And notice those words: glorify God in your body and in your spirit. There are a lot of people that can turn on the spiritual tap on Sunday and shout hallelujah and all of this and live like the devil all during the week. He has bought us with a price, and he wants us to glorify him in our bodies and in our spirits. And that means every minute of every day. Not just when we're around other Christians, but when we're around non-Christians. I said it last week, and I'll say it again tonight. Watch how you dress. Watch how you dress. You girls, you need to watch how you dress. What your appearance is. You fellas, you need to watch how you dress. What your appearance is. You're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I remember Ellie Maxwell speaking, talking about William Carey. He said, he asked people to pray for his son he had degenerated into an ambassador for the British government. The highest honor that anyone could have is being an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as an ambassador, we're representing Him. When people look at us, they need to see Jesus. There was a church in New York City that they had engraved on their pulpit for everyone who stood there to preach, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." That every man knew when he stood there what he was there for. "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And that's what the Lord Jesus wants in our lives. That we, as we represent Him. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. Again, Romans 8, 14 and 15. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Born of His Spirit. We're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. John 3, 6 says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Romans 8, 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." I was speaking in a church one time in Rockingham County, and I found out that a man who had been there, had started this church, had been teaching that the Holy Spirit cannot live within the believer. That He is a paraclete, He is alongside one, but He can't live within you. And one lady was rebuking me for some things that I had said when I was speaking, and I knew that she believed this, and I used this on her. You know, I came back with this. I said, "You know, it says in Romans 8, verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. If the Spirit of Christ does not dwell within the believer, then the believer's not saved. We are born of His Spirit. His Spirit lives within each one who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, verse 6, "That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And you who know the Lord as your Savior have been born of the Spirit." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You are not redeemed with corruptible things. You are not redeemed with things that are perishing, that will perish. But you have been washed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Romans 5 and verse 9 says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." We have been justified by His blood. Justice was served. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the work that was necessary for our salvation was finished. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. The second verse says, "Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight." Fanny Crosby talked about seeing all the time in her songs. Visions of rapture now burst. And this song, in this one, it says burst at my sight. Most hymn books have burst on my sight. Visions of rapture burst at my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. I've thought about, you know, on the 4th of July when you see the fireworks, they do, they burst at your sight, you know? When you see those bursts of light coming up. She said, perfect submission. Perfect submission. James chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. James chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. This first verse I used last week when we were talking about amazing grace. But James chapter 4, verses 6, 7, 8 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's perfect submission. Resist the devil. Submit to God. And you know, that's something that we as Christians have to do on a daily basis. We have to be on guard. Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. Because Satan is shooting his arrows at you. And he's going to do everything he can to cause you to fail as a Christian. We have perfect submission, perfect yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says perfect delight. Our delight, our joy should be in the things of the Lord and pleasing Him, setting our affections on things above, seeking those things which are above. Considering to ourselves as dead as far as the things of the world go. In the first psalm, in the second verse, it's talking about the blessed man. And you know, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But then verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He meditates in God's word day and night. The only way to be able to meditate in God's word day and night is you're going to have to memorize it. Because you're not going to always be in situations where you can open your Bible up. But if you have it memorized, meditation is like the cow chewing his cud. And he chews it, he swallows it, and then he brings it back up again, he chews it some more. Well, that's what it's talking about, meditating on the Word of God. His delight, the blessed man's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 37 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You see, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, then you're going to be desiring for his will to be done. And when you get on the same track with him, your desires are going to be his desires. And he's going to give you the desires of your heart. But committing our way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It's a familiar verse. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we're walking in the light, as he is in the light. Perfect delight. That's how we have perfect delight. hiding His Word in our hearts, meditating on His Word day and night, committing ourselves wholly to Him, laying our lives on the altar. Not my will, but thine be done. The very words of the Lord Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then it says, visions of rapture now burst at my sight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Speaking about the visions of rapture bursting on our sight. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see, Fanny Crosby knew that when she left this life to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, she was going to be able to see. And the first person that she was going to see was the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to her, the words of one of her songs. My Savior, first of all. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. And redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the print of the nails in His hand. I'm going to see His smile. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. In her song, Saved by Grace, the chorus says, and I shall see Him face to face, and I shall tell the story, saved by grace, and I shall see Him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Sometimes just look through her songs and see how many times she talks about seeing. Talks about it all the time. But when you think of some of the words that she wrote, she even wrote about the sunset. And I mean, she paints a picture in words of a sunset that she's never seen before. Only by what somebody else has described to her. Not because she saw it herself. Then it says, angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. First, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10. And you might wonder why I would use this passage for angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. And then, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So, in God's judgment, when the angels come with the Lord in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see His mercy and we see His love. Because every one of us that know Him has been spared from that. His mercy and His love. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Romans chapter 5. In verse 8, but God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The last stanza of the song, perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. When you have perfect submission, then there's going to be perfect rest. You're going to be resting in the Lord. You're not going to be worrying about things. You're not going to be trying to help the Lord out. You're going to be resting in Him, completely trusting in Him. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. And Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you, brethren, because of God's mercy, in the light of God's mercy, that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin. I plead with you in the light of that, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least you can do. And be not conformed to this world. Do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. And I guarantee you, every one of you have had that to happen to you sometime or other. That people have tried to get you to compromise in some way in your beliefs. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. We are, if we're presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, if we're submitting our lives to Him, and letting Him have complete control in our lives, letting Him direct our path. And then it says, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. It's like someone has described, you know, you have somebody coming from a distance company coming, and you're watching out for them. But that's not what we're talking about when it's watching. We're not sitting doing nothing, waiting for the Lord to come. We're busy at His work, but we're keeping an eye on what's happening. We're keeping an eye on His coming back again. People get all excited when we hear about the things that are happening over in Israel. But let me tell you, we don't know. It could be tonight. And we're not going to receive a whole lot of signs when the Lord's going to come back and rapture the church. It's going to happen in His time, on His timetable. But we need to be watching, and we need to be waiting. Isaiah says in Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That word waiting means trusting. Again, talking about resting in the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord. And the promise there is, they that wait upon Him, they that are waiting, shall renew their strength. They shall be strengthened for the work that the Lord wants them to do. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus was taken, He took Peter, James, and John a distance from the other disciples and went away to pray. And we know the story that three times Jesus came back and He found the disciples sleeping. They were not watching. They were not waiting. And I think it's a sign of what's happening in Christianity today. Christians are not watching, and they're not waiting. And the book of Revelation tells us that the Laodicean church, the lukewarm church, lukewarm. The Lord said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, and I just want to spew you out of my mouth. He didn't want fence riders. He wants us to be sold out 100% to Him. Watching and waiting. And this is what Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter's spirit was willing. He said, Lord, I'll die with you. But his flesh was weak. And he lied three times, denying that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't think that that cannot happen to you, because it can. He wants us to be watching and waiting. Fanny Crosby did not always have the blessed assurance. Even though she was cared for by her grandmother, as her mother had to go to work, her father died before she was a year old. And so her mother had to go to work to help keep up the family. And so she stayed with her grandmother, and her grandmother taught her the Word of God. She would sit in her grandmother's rocking chair and look, and her grandmother would look out at what was the outside, and she would describe what she saw to Fanny as a little child. She memorized big portions of Scripture, most of the Old Testament, and a whole lot of the New Testament. She had this memorized. But she was not saved until she was 30 years old. She was 30 years old in New York City, working at the State School for the Blind, and she went into a church where they were having evangelistic meetings, and she left there with the blessed assurance that Jesus was hers. She was 40 years old before she ever started writing hymns. She was writing poetry all through the blind, when she was at the blind school, but it was all kinds of little things. I mean, she had a poem for every occasion. Somebody would come to her for a birthday, she'd write a poem. She had a poem for a miller that was very hateful in her town, and she wrote this poem, and it was published in a paper. That she did not want that to happen, because she was making fun of this man. But she was 40 years old after she was married to Alexander Van Alstyne before she started writing hymns, and yet she still wrote over 8,000. She did not know. She was in a D.L. Moody meeting once, and Ira Sankey led the group in a song, and this was a conference. And so they broke up for lunch, and they came back, and he opened up with that song again. But before they went to lunch, she said, Mr. Sankey, I want to know who wrote that song. Well, he just shrugged it off and went to lunch, came back and opened the meeting again, and she says, you've got to tell me who wrote that song. He says, don't you know you're the guilty party? She didn't know her own song, but she wrote so many. So it could have been more than 8,000. Here is the chorus. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And there you have, I think, the testimony of this blind songwriter. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And I think we need to look at our prayer request. We better not try to sing that through right now. Huh? You want to sing it through? All right.